The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Wilson of KGLA Radio in Algona and Aaron Sommers of the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, you had a chance to tour Southwest Iowa over the weekend. I guess I heard some of your comments already, but I guess just kind of give your thoughts on when you were able to see what, kind of the flooding, the devastation up close and personal.
A 1-hour and 15-minute helicopter tour showed me almost everything, I think. And where the Platte River enters the Missouri, although I know higher up the Missouri there's still damage done, but at that point it looks like a great big giant lake. And I think that I was there probably 8 or 9 days after the flood occurred, and so probably it was a lot bigger lake if I'd seen it at the first day instead of last Friday. And particularly outstanding to me as a farmer was the great amount of damage that is done to grain bins that were surrounded by floodwaters, and the grain swells and the bins burst. Just millions of dollars of grain on the ground. That's not, I don't think any of it would be recoverable. Then you have the very obvious breaks in the levee that's going to take a long time to fix. And then you have a meeting I had in Hamburg where the whole town had water in it. And then I think back to 2011 when they had some water, but not as much. They had a dike around it that they had built, but it wasn't built to Corps engineers. We fought for 3 years back then to have the Corps leave it. The Corps insisted, and maybe FEMA was involved too, insisted it comes out, and so it had to be taken out because the town didn't have millions of dollars to build it to Corps specifications. So the town had more damage because of some stupid decision made by people here in Washington, D.C. to eliminate what little flood protection Amberg had. So there's a lot of hurt. Iowans are going to be resilient. They'll get around it. But there's a lot of people that had just barely recovered from 2011 are back in a very deep hole again. I'm glad that Governor Reynolds got the president and we backed her doing it to get disaster relief. And it's just a long road. It's a long road to hoe, I guess, is what we normally say in Iowa. Aaron?
What progress are you seeing on your efforts to lower prescription drug costs? Like, how are things going with those efforts?
Next week, we have the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers, before us. And we're still gathering information, but we're hoping to get a bill written, and we're working on a bill at this point. But other than the hearings and the gathering of information and trying to win support for a bill and write a bill that has broad support. And by the way, this will be something that will be very bipartisan. So anyway, that's where we are right now, except for insulin. The ranking Democrat is Wyden, and I, as chairman, we both wrote a bill to the three companies that manufacture insulin. And, you know, there's been a tremendous increase in the price of insulin. Mm-hmm. There's been a tremendous number of people that have cut back, maybe hurt their health. There's a couple instances of death where people couldn't afford the insulin. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of that. But even before we got an answer to our letter, we did have Eli Lilly issue a press release that they were going to put out a generic insulin. So we're making a little progress on insulin. Brian?
Well, Senator, last week you made comments saying that you would like to see the full Mueller report released for the public. It cost several million dollars to conduct the investigation. You said you want the public to be able to see what they got for their money. Do you think that's actually going to happen? Do you think there's a possibility that the entire report will be released?
Yeah, within 2 weeks. The Attorney General said so. Now, that doesn't seem to be fast enough for the Democrat House. They're going to issue subpoenas for it. But it seems to me if it's 400 pages long, it takes a while to get through it to make a determination of protecting people's personally, grand jury information that the law doesn't allow to get out, and then national security stuff. Now, you got to make those determinations because those three things should be redacted. And if anybody wants to see an unredacted version of it, it's going to have to be done in a secured briefing room where you aren't going to be allowed to talk about what you read that's been redacted. But there's no effort on the part of the Attorney General or the President to withhold any part of it except for grand jury, personal, and national security stuff. So it'll be out there. Aaron?
I was on your Twitter feed this morning catching up, and you had shared some comments about there needs to be some reflection by, I think, people working in government and people working in the media in particular who are disappointed in the Mueller report coming out with this lack of collusion. Can you just expand on that a little bit? You know, what are you seeing? Yeah. What are you hearing from people, and well, what would be a better response?
It's more or less just my reaction. It's not so much what I've heard from other people. First of all, you had people in the previous administration went to great lengths to pay for a dossier that's referred to as a Steele dossier. It's made up. That was used to get some what we call FISA warrants so they could wiretap people in the Trump campaign. And so our intelligence operation becoming political with the backing of President Obama to get some dirt on somebody in the Trump administration based upon purported collusions with Russia, and then the newspaper and television people backing that up and going along with it without asking any questions, even when there were a lot of questions raised along the way, shouldn't there be a lot of embarrassment? And isn't it sad that we would have our intelligence people, an incumbent president, spying on the opposition? And no basis for it. And then after all this information comes out, there wasn't any collusion. There's no apologies by people in the intelligence community, in the Obama administration, in the Justice Department, the FBI. All of these people colluding to get to a president, not only as a candidate to keep him from being elected, but then trying to get him out of office, a duly elected president. There ought to be a lot of reflection on that.
Yeah.
And there ought to be a lot of angst on people that they were sucked in to a conspiracy that, and then make no apologies. That's my expansion on it. Back to Brian.
Thank you.
Senator, would you support the President Trump if he decides to try and shut down the southern border with Mexico? Do you think that would be prudent at this point?
Well, if he decides to shut it down, there's not much I can say about it, except if it's necessary from this standpoint that the president is commander-in-chief, he is commander-in-chief, or the federal government as a whole, national security being the number one responsibility of the people, protecting the American people, in other words, and we've got drugs coming in the tons. We have human traffickers, sex traffickers. We got MS-13 people coming in. We got criminals coming in, and they're a danger to the American public, and that's his responsibility to do it. I think that we ought to respect the president's constitutional duties, as I think I was trying to do the same thing when I voted more money for a wall. Back to Aaron.
What do you see as the impact of the Trump administration backing the lawsuit seeking to dismantle the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I suppose that it was done with an idea that they could influence the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in Texas. But I expect my judiciary to be independent and interpret the law, leave their personal views out. They're independent of the president. They shouldn't be doing anything just because the president wants it done. And I expect this decision to be based on the constitutionality questions or the statutory questions that are involved, and that the president shouldn't have anything to do with it. If the Supreme Court would eventually declare it unconstitutional, that's the question put forth by the states that brought the case. The president didn't bring the case. He's just supporting it. Then we will have a responsibility to make sure that we write legislation that, quite frankly, would still probably include a lot of things that are in Obamacare, because there were a lot of things in Obamacare that had both Republican and Democrat support. But there were so many bad things in it that didn't have any Republican support. That's why we feel that it's done a lot of good. Like, for instance, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. Millions of people lost their doctor. If you like your health insurance, you can keep it. A lot of people lost their health insurance. Your premiums are going to go down $2,500. They've gone up more than that. So consequently, there's a lot of it we would keep, but there's a lot that we would have to rewrite. And in the final analysis, one of the things that all of us Republicans agree on, we got to protect people with pre-existing conditions.
Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.